This morning, I asked the boys and girls to count how many times you hear the word home. And tonight, I've asked Mr. Vandermeer to name all the times or the number of times that you hear the word city, because we're talking about a city. This morning, we talked about a country, a better country, and now it's a city. But really, those are two words used interchangeably because Abraham looked to both. It's a city in the country. It's the city in this new world, the new heavens, the new earth, and at the center is a city, a city. Some people might debate over what's better, to live in the country or in the city. A lot of families have moved out of the city because they prefer it. But you also know some of the disadvantages of living in the country. Some people in the city wish maybe they could live out in the country because there are advantages for both. But in heaven, there's a city, the gates are open, and you can go out in the country. That's heaven for us. There's both. And if you know the narrative of Scripture, there is the beginning with a man and a woman living in a garden in a rural context, the country, and it continues, it develops this story, and it's pointing all toward a city. In the end, it's a city, and it's not just two, but an innumerable number that Abraham was promised that you cannot even count. Innumerable, like the sand on the seashore, the stars in the sky. That will be heaven and the city that we're looking at tonight. So people, God's people, as we saw, who are sojourners on this journey toward this celestial city, we need to hear the reminders of what that journey is like. And we're going to first hear about the suffering that we go through in this journey, but then how we look forward through that suffering in our lives. We're going to look beyond that, because there are three ways that we're going to live by faith on this journey. Three ways we're going to live by faith. And the first one is speaking of this suffering. That by faith, and remember what faith is, Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. That's what faith is when we say faith. By faith, the first call to faith is to suffer with Jesus outside the city. To suffer with Jesus outside the city. Hebrews chapter 13. A peculiar passage here, maybe not quite understanding what it says, but let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 13, where it says, Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. What is that referring to? When Jesus went outside the gate, we think of Jesus, who was condemned by the governor Pilate, and he had to carry his cross, weaving through the city. And when we were in Israel a few months ago, when we were sitting on the Mount of Olives looking over the city, we were trying to imagine what that city would have looked like. And there was a gate that led outside the city. And Jesus would have taken that gate with his carrying the cross, and we know that he was helped along the way, but he was then impaled to that cross, and he suffered the humiliation of that entire day, and then hanging there on the cross throughout the afternoon, where he was not just in the agony of crucifixion, that's where excruciating, the word comes from, crucified, but he bore the sin of his people in his body. And he was abandoned for 3 hours on the cross by his Father when he descended into hell, suffering that punishment. This is the humiliation, the suffering that he endured. And so he went outside of the gate, outside the camp, as that sacrifice. And so it says now, let us go outside the camp and also endure the reproach. And that's exactly what Christians do. When we identify ourselves with Jesus, we're going to suffer, just as he suffered. The reproach, the disgrace, the mocking, just as he endured. Nothing close to, in the way that he did. But we identify with him as we go outside that city. Perhaps some of you in your life growing up, you've been bullied. Do you remember that? Have you ever been bullied? You think of adults, young people, you've been bullied when you're growing up. It's not nice. You're maybe in a group and you want to be part of that group, but they push you out. And they don't want you to be part of that group. You're outside now. And that is a place where you feel alone and isolated. Well, that is the life of a Christian. You don't belong. Do you remember we talked about you're outside, you're in exile. But it's the same here, outside the camp, outside the gate. People will look at you with contempt, and they will see you as an outsider. But if we're reproached, and if we do suffer in this way with Jesus, then that's our glory. That is something that we can then look to what is still yet to come. Because God is preparing a place for us. Remember, it says, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is still to come. So in those times when you're experiencing being an outcast, you're saying, well, this is not my home. And you're not looking back at the city that you've been, or the group that you've been pushed out of. You're looking to that place that you belong. You've been accepted. And that where you are going. And so it's the whole message of Hebrews. Don't look back to the temple, to that city. Look back at Jesus. He was taken out of the city. And we're all looking to the city yet to come. That city is a lasting city. It's an eternal city. This city is fading away. And it's the same with any city in the world, in history. We know that Jesus, as he was trying to comfort his disciples, and he was wanting them to look beyond the sorrow that they would experience when Jesus says, I will leave you. And he was going to go back to be with his Father. So he says in chapter 14 of John, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. God the Father and Jesus are preparing a place for his people right now. And there are rooms in this city that he's preparing for each and every one who is a citizen in Zion, in this city. So why look to any other place for that place that we would call home, but that place that we are going? So we don't look back to the past glory of any of those cities, the temple in that city of Jerusalem. We're looking forward to this permanent city, a lasting city, a continuing city that is to come. There's nothing in this world that lasts, but in that world, we turn our eyes to where everything lasts. Here is temporary, it's fading away, it's perishing, but we look, this is the second call to faith, is we look and long for the eternal city of God. We look and long for the eternal city of God, built by God. So by faith, we long for the heavenly city built by God. You heard those words in Hebrews chapter 11. And to review from this morning, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out in faith, in obedience, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And in verse 10, For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. The architect of this city is God. And he's the contractor. He's building it. The whole thing is from God. So this is the city we're looking forward to. The word looking forward is with this eager, waiting expectation, this yearning, this longing for that city. Abraham left a very established city in Ur of Chaldees, that city of Ur. He left it. He was a very rich man. He left it to go living in tents to the place that would be a desert, living in tents for his life. He didn't settle in any of those Canaanite cities. He kept his eye on that unseen city, that city that was made visible by his faith. And this city, again, is built by God, designed by God. So if God builds a city, it's going to be permanent. This structure is never going to fail. This is God's city. And there's a city that, all kinds of cities in history, but there's one particular one that I've been following for the last few years. It's a city that is being designed right now in Saudi Arabia that's going to come out of the Red Sea. It's called The Line, or it's also called Neom, and it's dug down deep into the desert. It's supposed to be, according to the design, 170 kilometers long. It's just one linear line and 500 meters down. The whole thing is going to be 100% energy efficient within itself, contained. They were hoping initially to house 9 million people, and it was going to cost $500 billion to build it. Well, they've scaled it down very significantly. But I almost guarantee you, so this is supposed to be built by 2030. I almost guarantee you, 5 years from 2030, 2035, there's going to be another city that some designer is going to come up with. This is the next city to live in. If you want the newest city, new high-tech city. And that's the way history has gone. Cities rise, they fall. Cities are the newest heyday of this city, and then it declined. And then they build another city. That's history. But those who live by faith, they're longing for the permanent city, the one in heaven, the one where God is preparing all of his people to dwell. He has a room for each and every one of us in this mansion. And when we are coming to worship every Lord's Day, this is what we are doing. We're coming spiritually to this mountain, Mount Zion, and we're coming to this city of Jerusalem, the holy city. Do we remember that? I often forget. This is what we're doing. We're ascending up to this city that God is preparing for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says it in these words. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is what we do in worship. And so let us remember that. And let that be the cultivating of our longing for this city. Not to settle for where we live, wherever that is, but to know that we are as pilgrims, we're longing for that city he's preparing for us. Waiting for it. Expectantly, because one day we will walk through those pearly gates and we will enter it. We will, by faith. So is that the longing of your soul? That city, the city of God, or one of these cities of men? What's your longing? What do you desire in this pilgrimage, in this world? Longing for the heavenly city built by God. So that's the first call, a second call to live by faith. The first, again, is by faith we suffer with Jesus outside the city. The second is by faith we long for the heavenly city built by God. And thirdly, by faith we look, because God is in the midst of the city. And so we turn to Revelation chapter 21. We look because God is in the midst of the city. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, it says, look, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. This is the refrain throughout Scripture, and now it's fulfilled. God is with his people, and his people are with God. Behold, look at this home that God is preparing for his, for himself to dwell among his people. The greatest blessing of heaven is not what you can do. You might think, can I swim in heaven? Can I do these things in heaven? The greatest gift that you have in heaven is that there will be unhindered fellowship with God. God will be with you, and you will be with God, and it will be unhindered. No separation. It's God with us, Emmanuel, truly Emmanuel with us. The tabernacle, the temple, it was all pointing to this. God with us. That's the reality of this holy city. And in verse 1 and 2, picture it. This is what's going to happen. As John saw, the new heavens and the new earth, the first heaven and new earth, pass away, sees no more. And now this new heavens, new earth comes down. This holy city, this new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared. This is the preparation. Presenting the bride. Perfect now, beautiful now. We know we have weddings here. And the bride is wearing this beautiful white dress. It's picturing that church, the bride being presented to Christ, the husband. This is the end. This is the consummation of all things. And this is the city, the holy city. And it's being described here in all its dimensions. And did you notice a number that's repeated over and over? And numbers are symbolic in the book of Revelation. And so the number 12 is used over and over, representing God's people. God's people who are now been perfected. Because this city is perfect. It's a cube, a perfect cube. 12,000 stadia. You might want to say, well, how long is that? Well, it's 2,200 kilometers. It's a big city. That's what it's showing. It's a big city. The walls are thick. 12 by 12, 144 cubits. That's about 65 meters if you want to know the actual measurements. That's the thickness of the walls. And this number 12, again, is symbolic of this perfection of God that is the church, God's people. It's describing the wealth, the value. But all these things that are mentioned here, the precious stones and the gold, and these are just common materials in this building, in this city. And even those things that are opaque, like jasper, it's clear as crystal. It's so pure, so perfect that you can see through it. The streets are made of gold, but you can see through. And the foundation of the city are made of 12 precious stones. These stones, some of them we don't know what they are exactly, but this reminds us of the high priest. He had an ephod, and there were 12 stones, and they all represented the tribes of Israel, representing the people of God. And so all of these numbers and these precious things are showing this city is perfect. It's symbolic of its perfection. And no longer is there a temple. Why? Because God Himself is among His people. God is dwelling, is present with His people. There's no need for a temple. There's no need for a sun or the moon. Why? Because the glory of God radiates, it shines. The Lamb is the lamp. This is the city. The gates are never closed. Ancient city gates, they had to close their gates. If their enemies were outside the city, they would close their gates to protect themselves within the city. But why would the gates now be open in heaven, these 12 gates? Because there are no enemies in heaven. There's no threat. There's perfect security and peace in the city. Now, people today, more and more, are flocking to cities. It's urbanization. They are coming to a city with dreams, hopes, and many of those hopes are dashed. And they find themselves lonely. With all the crowds of people all around them, they are lonely. And their stress level continues to increase. And you would think, in the place that they dreamed to be, in the great city, that they would find what they are looking for. More people, yet more isolation, insecurity. And it seems like in the city, there's an increase in sin. People find perverseness in every way possible. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. The cities of the world. The city of man, sin, is the city of sin. Sin city. We have a city, Sin City, Las Vegas. That's the city of man. You can't escape it. Sin, it's pervasive. The whole world over is pervasive. But what about this city in heaven, the city of God? How, even boys and girls, how can you go to this city of God that He's building? How do you get there? Is there enough money that you can pay to get through those gates? You know, adults, some people say, well, is there a loan that I can get to actually try to get in and pay off the debt? There's no way. There's no way you can pay your way in. The only way you can is through Jesus. He's the gate. He's the one who has paved the way for you on the cross. He's paved the way for you. That is how you enter in. It's through Him. He's the door into this kingdom of heaven, into the city of God. God's preparing that place. And what is that place that we who believe can be encouraged and comforted because we have tears that run down our face with the sorrow that we experience in our lives? And God Himself is going to wipe away those tears. There's going to be no more mourning. The pain that we go through in our lives is no more. There's no one in this city who's going to die. There are no graveyards. This is the place where those who believe in this place will go. Are you longing for that place? God needs to make you clean before you go to that place. He needs to make you perfect, and He will, in Christ, where you can stand even now before Him. And if you were to die, you would be received into that place because you are looking unto Jesus. And there will be no more sin. None. It'll be gone. Cleansed away. Any remnant of sin that would threaten to infect our fellowship with God will be gone. This is the city of God. And even now, God's intended purpose for you and I is that we would enjoy the fellowship that he has with us, that he wants to dwell with his people, that we would long for that place. And this is what he does. Jesus said to his disciples, John 14:23, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, my Father will love him and come to him and make our home with him. God wants to dwell in human hearts. And by faith, you, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, as your sovereign in your life, you will have Jesus by his Spirit dwelling in you. And if you do, if you have Christ in you, and he wants to dwell in you richly, this is the kind of fellowship he wants to have with us, the people of God, now, even before we have it in perfection in heaven. So as we are on this journey as sojourners, as we are pilgrims, are you looking to heaven as that city in which you are going? So whether you will say that this is the place where you will continue to worship God in Ottawa, the Ottawa RP Church, or whether it's Beckwith RP Church, wherever you worship God, remember that every time you do, you're preparing yourself for heaven. You're preparing for yourself to actually enter into that city. But as we worship, we are coming to that city. So are you ready to continue to suffer with Jesus outside the city in this life? Are you ready, by faith, longing for that heavenly city built by God, and by faith, looking to that city that God is preparing to live in the midst of it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this description in your word of that place, that city, that country you are preparing for us. And we know that you are not ashamed to be our God in this life. When we feel that we are pilgrims, exiles, sojourners on this journey toward that celestial city, Father, grant us your Holy Spirit drawing near to us, dwelling richly with us, that we may be strengthened until we reach those pearly gates. And that's, we know, only through Jesus Christ. In him do we believe, in him, and in him we pray. Amen.